You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We're taking a look at an interesting update. We're looking at the Itala saga. This is the KZN bank, or the bank that had somewhat of a bank exemption license to operate at some point. We looked at the story last year, and we have a bit of an update from the Prudential Authority has submitted new court papers that challenge the solvency of Itala and that support its bid for having the bank liquidated. I'm joined on the line by the director and founder, by the founder and director at Karuska Consulting, Kaya Sotola, to take a look at this and see if we can get our heads around it. Good evening, Kaya. Lovely to catch up with you as always. You and I looked at Itala Bank last year, and we looked at the FSCA's suspension of their FSP license, but we also looked at the Prudential Authority's decision to have that exemption for a banking license revoked after 10 years. Now we've got new information around the solvency of the bank, and the papers that were submitted to the court suggest that Itala is some 500 million rand short on meeting its solvency requirements in terms of the amount of deposits it needs to return to its investors. What's the latest happening here?
So there's a lot happening, unfortunately, and part of that is stuck in the courts, which makes it very difficult to actually know what the true state of affairs is, because in the court papers, you basically feel like you're reading about two separate entities, because one person says all is good and the other person says that nothing is good. But at the crux of the problem is that obviously when the repayments administrator came in December 2023 after the exemption notice had expired, that person was then responsible for overseeing the activities of the entity. And part of that would have been a question of assessing whether the entity remains as solvent as it needs to be, and if not, what should then happen? But the problem here is that, again, there are two versions to every single aspect of the story. So the first part is that when the repayments administrator came in, it was on the back of an understanding that Itala would not take on new deposits. And in fact, the repayment administrator's job is to start a process of returning deposits that had already been collected. And that doesn't seem to have materialized in the way that the Reserve Bank or even the repayments administrator anticipated. And since then, according to the repayments administrator, things have gradually become worse in the sense that the solvency position has become ever more fragile. And his recommendation has been that this must then be put into liquidation. That's that version of the story. On the other hand, when you then read what Itala's explanation of a state of affairs is, they are simply looking at a repayments administrator who's gone rogue, who is adamant that absolutely everything must be jettisoned off without listening to reason and without engaging with the substantive issues. So until the courts deliberate on these two different versions, we're not really sure what the state of affairs is. But what is also quite different here is that this is not a normal case where the courts can take years to deliberate. This is a case that must be resolved with a sufficient speed in order for depositors to know whether they're ever going to receive their money, whether there's enough for their money to be paid back, and how those channels are going to be facilitated. So it is something that is quite urgent, but I'm not sure if we're going to get a resolution anytime soon.
Now, Kaya, some of the pertinent matters that were discussed and some of the things that we looked at was around the initial setup of Itala and the process that Itala had operated under for the last 10 years, to say that the purpose of the exemption that was granted was to obtain a license thereafter. And you and I got into this in our previous chat around this, to say that that exemption is not for you to just sit on and not do anything about. Yet this seems to be what Itala has done. Something else that's been put forward in the court papers is that Itala, amongst its irregularities or inappropriate activities, has granted loans or credit-like facilities to more than 267 people under the age of 18, effectively granting credit to minors. In basic financial terms, that doesn't seem like something that would be legal. Now, you and I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what's been put forward in the court papers.
Yeah, and it's quite difficult to actually know whether this is a matter of people misrepresenting or whether it's people perhaps receiving those loans on the back of some guarantee by an adult person. We simply do not know. But I think obviously the fact that it made its way onto the court papers, where it says that 1% of the loan book indicated that 267 of the cash advance clients who are younger than 18 years, that instinctively is a red flag, because you'd have to ask yourself the question, well, if you're advancing loans to those particular individuals, how exactly did they pass the most basic and the most elementary hurdles in the National Credit Act regarding the affordability? And of course, if they can squeeze into the system, well, then what becomes of those that are off age but simply don't have the means? Because if the 267 indicates that your processes around onboarding clients and lending to them is weak, you can imagine how chaotic that will be on a much wider population that has not been stratified in terms of age, but maybe stratified in terms of loan size. So it, again, raises red flags. That's what the Repayments Administrator says is picked up. Itala has to explain to us what happened.
In terms of red flags, Kaya, I want to get into one that would probably give you sleepless nights as a chartered accountant, and given your experience in this aspect, and that's the solvency side of it. There's the 500 million rand that the Prudential Authority is alleging would be a shortfall from the deposit side of it. There's a separate 970 odd million rand that the IDFC is now putting forward to say that if Itala is to be liquidated, they will be out of pocket by that amount of money, if not more. When we look at solvency from a basic level, how do we explain it in terms of just the common man's understanding and how it relates to the banks?
Well, the simplest explanation is that you should have sufficient assets to cover your liabilities. That's really how you prove that you're solvent. The problem with banks is that the profile of assets and the profile of liabilities are very different. So the bank's liabilities are the amounts that it has taken as deposits. So if you go and deposit your money into a bank, it becomes a liability for the bank because they owe you. What the bank then does is that it takes your deposit and then it lends it on to the next person so that person can buy a house. Now, clearly, that person to whom the money has been lent is going to take 20 years to pay that amount of money back. So the simple question is, if what happens when you come back tomorrow and you say you want your deposit back? So there should be a balance of those particular cash flows that enables the bank to say that, look, if those ones that have given us money come back and they want to restore their money, there should be enough liquid assets in order for us to honor those before we have to force the ones that we gave the money to essentially sell their houses so that we can get the money back. So that's how you're trying to get the balance between those two. And I think, obviously, when you then look at the balance sheet of a bank on an ongoing basis, the simple question is, do you have the right balance between the sum of assets and the sum of liabilities? Do you have the right stress testing to predict what the cash withdrawal patterns might be, for example, so that you do have enough cash? Because the greatest risk that banks face is that one person goes and tries to withdraw 100 rand and the bank says, yes, we owe you, but we don't have the money. Because the first thing that that person does is that they tell the next person. And then suddenly everybody wants their money and the bank doesn't have it. So that causes a run on the bank. So that's something that you must manage proactively. And when you look at what the Repayments Administrator says in the court papers, when they did that assessment, it says that, look, if we had to sort all of this out overnight, we think there's a gap of 570 million rand. And then another report that had been done by the CFO says that the gap might be 970 million. So the point is that there shouldn't be any gap. The point here is that both calculations show that there's a significant gap. And the question is, who will fund the gap? That is unknown.
Now, given that Itala Bank is technically considered a state-owned company, they go by Itala SOC, that would then bring up the question around whether or not Itala could be bailed out by the government of South Africa. And we've got our budget speech coming up next week. I want to get your thoughts around the precarious position that this bank finds themselves in. So even if we do cover that shortfall, whatever that shortfall is, whether it's 500 million, whether it's 900 million, let's say we cover the shortfall, how do we then move forward with an entity that no longer has a lending license, that no longer has a banking license, in fact was never granted a banking license? What do you then do so that those that have their money sent back are not then just put into a new organization?
Well, part of the problem is what exactly you started with, this question of whether it's a state-owned company or not. The issue here is that the Banks Act is quite clear about who and who may not apply for a banking license. And entities that are owned by state, by provincial provincial structures like Itala, but simply are not allowed to do so. So Itala is owned by a provincial entity, and of course, it is that provincial entity that should then be expected to be the first, reference call for any payments that need to be done. If national government had to step in, it won't be out of an obligation. It would be out of an acknowledgement that, well, perhaps the way we've overseen this process over the past 20 years makes us equally complicit in the escalation of the crisis. So this is something that the IDFC and the KZN provincial government are responsible for. If National Treasury comes in, it's only on the acknowledgement that those two anchor shareholders are not in a position to do so. So that's part of the problem here, because had Itala been decoupled from that corporate structure many years ago, they would have been in a much better position to apply for a banking license. That simply never happened. And that's part of the crisis that you're seeing here. So the license in question left them at the mercy of the Prudential Authority. And that mercy expired in July 2022 when they were told that the exemption notice would not be renewed.
The saga continues. We'll keep an eye out on the developments around this case. It does affect more than 2 billion rand of investor deposits. So there is a vested interest to make sure that depositors get their monies back, or that we get this matter resolved in whatever amicable way we can. Thank you so much for those contributions, as always, Kaya. Kaya Sithole, founder and director at Kuriska Consulting, joining us to take a look at the latest developments in the Itala saga.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.